35-38 lead and had the ball and was driving around midfield. And we're driving around midfield. So that's not quitting, all right? I'm sorry, that's just not quitting. If you think so, you're an ignoramus. So it's not quitting, all right? That's the best thing I can say right now. The best thing I can say is this team has not quit, all right? They didn't do the Florida State thing from last year. They haven't done what others have done. They haven't quit because they rallied to the lead. So you can save the quit thing, right? That didn't happen. If you want to tell me there are a couple individual players who may give suspect effort, okay. But the team has not quit on Dabo Swinney. Listen, if the team had quit on Dabo Swinney, then you'd be having a different conversation. But that's factually incorrect. Right? That's just wrong. The team has not quit. That was absolutely evident in the way they played. Look, if they were going to quit, that would have been a 48-10 game, and it would have been mailed in after the first quarter. I mean, the first quarter, Duke had 200 yards. The second quarter was a completely different story. Clemson came back and maybe played their best quarter of football of the year, other than the play right before the half. So it wasn't quitting, right? That's the good thing. Now let's get to some of the generics before we actually talk about in-game stuff. I do not understand how we're most of the way through the season and Clemson is still having massive coverage busts. I get that Clemson is lacking speed and athleticism on the back end. That's been obvious for weeks. It was obvious in what Tom Allen said, which we've told you for weeks, that he can't really play man coverage because he just doesn't have the pieces to do it. Well, they tried more man coverage in this game. They tried to be more aggressive in this game. It didn't work. There are some issues that can't be fixed other than recruiting. Portal. Probably want a portal. There are some issues.
What?
There are some issues that can't be fixed other than through recruiting. I think that's obvious right now. And I think a lot of that's got to come in the portal. You need ready-made college DBs who can run, have length, can play. I think some of that's obvious. You can't just naturally switch guys around and think that they're going to be able to fill major spots. It doesn't work. So I get there are some deficiencies in that regard. All right. However, what I don't get is how you can be this far in the season and have as many absolute coverage busts as Clemson is having. I don't get that. You know, and it results in on-field conflict with Mickey Conn and Tom Allen, a bad look. You know, Dabo Swinney is screaming at the defense on the sideline. Adazio's doing the game and saying, Dabo, take it inside. It's not a good look. Post-game, you're complaining about a call when you committed two defensive holdings and two pass interferences on the last two plays before the play that everybody wants to, before the collision everybody wants to talk about. Listen, the frustration is absolutely obvious. It's run absolutely rampant. I mean, it's being seen everywhere. And I get that element. A team that expects to win, that came in with as many high expectations as Clemson did, I get the building frustration. And there are some other things. I mean, you know, Wade Woodes was asked about the level of frustration. I saw Susan post this, and she's a good-hearted person. I think she was thinking that, you know, that, and she wrote something to the effect of, you know, you got to remember their kids and whatever, and they're still feeling, and they feel this pain too. That was not met. That was not received well. Every response I saw was just blistering an attack. There is a divide right now. You know, I think what it is fans don't mind supporting a program, but they don't want to support, and they don't want this notion that you can't speak about players anymore. I think that's over. I think it's over when you start to take massive amounts of money. I just think it is. And that's what everybody in response said. Nope, that's over. You're taking massive amounts of money. And so that's what people are feeling. The NIL and portal has created this sort of unnatural divide between players and fans. And when it doesn't go well, that divide really comes to the forefront, and people are pissed. I mean, that's the bottom line. They're very, very angry. They're very, very angry. And I don't know how you settle that, but to win. The dilemma is that the Tigers have not won a regular season home game against a P4 opponent in 54 weeks. That seems impossible, but that's the reality of where we are. And at some point, you just have to deal with the reality. You have to stop talking about championships, I think, and you have to deal with the reality of where this program is right now. Because there has been a decline. I mean, there just obviously has. You'd be living in denial if you didn't think so. So the question is, how do you fix it? I think Dabo Swinney is still the right guy to fix it. And I believe in Coach Swinney. I believe in his program. I think that when he recites his record to you, it's a little bit defensive, but it's also true. It's also true. And I think that we need to remember this is not a string of unsuccessful seasons. I think the dilemma, though, is that this is like a 5-year problem. This is not a 1-year problem. There has been decline. This team has not won a playoff game in a long time. And I think it's, how do you get back there? And I think that's the portal. But my immediate concern is the number of complete coverage busts this team is having. I mean, we're in November. And yes, there are issues of speed and lack of athleticism on the back end of this defense, but you can still be in the right place. I mean, there's just coverage bust after coverage bust. And guys are looking at each other like they don't know who's responsible for it. And again, Clemson tried to be more aggressive at the start of this game, tried to play more man coverage, tried to get more pressure on Mensah. And the dilemma is that none of it is working right now defensively. The defense has basically fallen apart. Now, it got a little better in the middle of the game, and you thought, well, okay, here you go. Here we go. You knew that Clemson was going to be able to make some things happen offensively because Duke's pass defense is not very good either, and Duke was having their own share of busts. And quite honestly, you know, I wrote this on Twitter during the game, and this seemed to sort of take flight, but I think the ankle injury actually helped Cade Klubnik because it anchored him to the pocket. He couldn't bail. He just had to stand in. He stood and he delivered the ball, and he played the best game he's played. Now, I thought his offensive line played well. I thought the offensive line, after the early moments of the game, played well. I thought the offense played well. Antonio Williams had a career-type game. I thought the offense, by and large, played well. We got to see more of Gideon Davidson, which I think is a good thing that people have been asking for. The offense did their part. But, you know, there's a lot of talk here about complimentary football. Well, there wasn't any of that because the defense stunk. I mean, you can't give up 50 points at home. I mean, you just can't. I know Duke's potent offensively and has a lot of weapons, but you can't give up 200 yards in the first quarter. You can't give up touchdown passes like right at the end of the half over your entire defense. And, you know, and you can't have some of the things that we've had. Now, look, when Dabo's going at those guys on the sideline late at the end of the half, you know, I've seen a lot of people speculate about Cleo Barnes and saying he's smiling and this is all bad. I don't know that. I don't know how to read his face. I can't tell what he's thinking. And I also don't know how many times this type of thing has happened. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I just know that there's a whole lot of acting out right now, and there's not a lot of good football. I know this, though. The one thing I know to be true, they did not quit. Okay, that's just false. That's patently false. If they had quit, then you'd have a bigger concern about coaching. But they've not quit, so I can say that. I just don't think they're very good. I think that they have a lot of issues, and there are some things I just don't understand. I do not understand the ridiculous coverage busts over and over and over again. And they're happening throughout the courses of entire games, which, again, that's on all of the coaches, okay? It's on the players. It's on everybody. I don't know how the message isn't getting across at this point. I'm just not sure. The safeties haven't played well, okay? We get that. Again, I can I can allow for guys who are converted position players, etc., not playing particularly well. Guys who maybe don't have enough athleticism to be in spots they're in. I can get all that. What I can't get is mental mistakes that are just leaving guys wide open. Like, if, for example, well, we'll get to this on the other side. Ron and Chris, I'm coming to you first. We have a lot to talk about today. You can get in 654-7627, 654-7627. If I ever told you before the year that Clemson and South Carolina were going to play each other as sub-500 teams at the end of the year, you would have said, no friggin' way. You're insane. Get out of here, you loser. Right? But that's what we're going to have. We're going to have a Clemson-South Carolina game with two teams that both have losing records. And Clemson has not beaten a P4 team at home in the regular season in 54 weeks. Which, that's insane. I mean, that's like impossible. I would have said, again, you're out of your mind. But that's where we are. Walt Tip to the Road Rage, quick break.
It's always big when the Clemson Tigers and Florida State Seminoles get together on the gridiron, and we've got you covered right here on The Roar. Kickoff at 7 o'clock inside Memorial Stadium this year. That means the Ingles Tiger pregame show starts at 1 inside Burton Gallery, right there inside Little John Coliseum. Then Tiger Tailgate Show with Faxon and his crew, Don, Tim, and Reggie with the call of the game, and Donnell Clark and I will give you all the analysis you need on the fifth quarter show. If it's Clemson football, it's here, the flagship station for Clemson athletics. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the ultimate lunch lineup boasts wall-to-wall sports and scenic views. When you're hungry and in a hurry, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local lodge.
Everyone knows that Low Country Male is the best place to go for low testosterone and ED treatments. Did you know they also offer NAD, BPC, peptides, and GLP-1 programs? The best thing about Low Country Male is it's a one-stop shop to get your testosterone up. Our concierge plans start at just $220 a month and include testosterone, lab work, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and much, much more. We've been making men men again since 2016. 8 locations in South Carolina and Savannah. LowCountryMale.com.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in spray foam insulation, the most premium insulation option to insulate your home while also sealing any air leaks. Spray foaming the roof deck of your attic can also get you the opportunity to turn your attic into usable space and is the ultimate pest control solution. Right now, you can receive up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits. Call Koala Insulation today, 864-867-1779.
Harrison's is the home of Work Western, and wow! For nearly 30 years, our family has been boots on the ground when it comes to work. The key to our success is great partners like Ariat. We have the largest selection of Ariat in the Carolinas. Need comfortable work boots? Can't go wrong with Ariat. Want to show out at the rodeo? Can't go wrong with Ariat. Looking to wow on date night? Yep, Ariat. Work staples, Western favorites, and casual style to wow any crowd. Shop Ariat at Harrison's in Malden and Spartanburg or online at harrisonsusa.com.
Discover exceptional value and reliability at Toyota of Easley, where your satisfaction is our top priority. Whether you're in the market for a sleek sedan, a rugged SUV, or a fuel-efficient hybrid, we've got the perfect vehicle for you. Our friendly team is ready to assist with personalized service and unbeatable offers. Don't miss out on the chance to drive home your dream Toyota. Visit us today at Toyota of Easley and experience the difference.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
I need a good plumber fast.
I always call One Tom Plumber.
One Tom what?
Here, dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. Or just tell your smartphone to call One Tom Plumber. They promise to be there in an hour.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Samantha Porter, environmental educator, ready to encourage you. Pizza boxes, shipping and packaging boxes, appliance boxes are all examples of cardboard that is easy to recycle. Did you know that every school in Anderson County recycles their cardboard? And you can too. Did you know that cardboard generates the most recycling dollars, which allows our convenience centers to remain open and free to our residents? Anderson County Solid Waste is here to serve and help. 260-1001.
Yoder's Building Services is your locally trusted family-owned building supply company, serving the upstate since 1986 with lumber, windows and doors, roofing and decks, siding and more for homeowners and contractors. And when it comes to windows and doors, Yoder's is proud to partner with Anderson Windows and Doors, known for unmatched quality, durability and energy efficiency. Whether you're replacing a few windows or building your dream home from the ground up, visit Yoder's Building Services. More information on Anderson Windows and Doors today.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple: the highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
Remember when they used to ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? At Bank of America, we ask every day, what would you like the power to do? When you work here, you help build businesses, inspire communities, and forge legacies. And now we've raised our U.S. minimum wage to $25 an hour. So the opportunity to do more also comes with competitive pay. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/25. Bank of America, proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Get fired up with Walt Deptula on Road Rage, weekdays 3 to 7, for all things sports. Exclusively on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Walt Deptula Road Rage, we are back. I'm getting to you on the phone lines in a second. You know, just going back to the bus, okay, I don't know how many there were in the first half. I mean, there are others that, you know, there was one play where Clemson bats the ball down at the line of scrimmage. It's a good thing they did because there are two Duke receivers running wide open. You got one at like 20 yards, one at like 40 yards on the same side of the field. They're both wide open. And so... I thought there were a lot of busts, quite frankly, on both sides. But from Clemson's side, way too many at this point of the year. And what happened at the end of the half just cannot happen. You played a great second quarter, and then you basically give it all away right before the half. You can't have that. And then at the end of the game, 95 yards away, okay? They're 95 stinking yards away. The punter does his job, all right? Nobody else does. You're 95 yards away. You got a third and seven, and you just release the tight end, Haseley, who we talked about last Friday. He's a guy who can get vertical. You just release the tight end wide open down the middle of the field. There's nobody there at all. I mean, and quite honestly, look, I've not watched the replay yet. At some point I'll watch the replay and probably figure out who is to blame there. But it's sort of hard to know. Sammy Brown seems to release him. You've got two linebackers in the middle of the field. I mean, you look. If memory serves, you were in a cover two shell at that point. That means that one of the linebackers has to get deep middle. There's no linebacker deep middle. They're both sitting there like they're spying the quarterback, which just can't be. Maybe Woodhouse was spying the quarterback. I'm not really sure why. Mensah's not really a runner to begin with. But, I mean, one of those linebackers has got to get some depth. Instead, Sammy just seemed like he let him go. Now, I don't know if Sammy thought he had help behind him. I don't know who that was supposed to be from, if so, because there's nobody. He's running wide friggin' open. There's nobody within 20 yards of him. He's running down. I mean, forget officials' calls. This is why you lost. You got a guy who's running wide open. They're 95 yards away. You've had bus all game. You can't have a bus there. You know, now, they leak a running back out late to Sammy's side, and Sammy seemed to take a step forward towards that. Well, I mean, you can't, you know, I mean, if it's a choice, you've got to go with the tight end. Someone's got to go with the tight end who's wide open down the middle of the field. And again, I don't know. I've got to watch it again. But to me, it almost looked like they're in a cover two shell at that point. That linebacker's got to get some depth down the middle of the field. One of them does. You can't just both release the tight end, give him a free release right down the middle of the field. No one ever touches him. He's running unchallenged down the middle of the field. And that play went for what? 60? How many yards did that play go for? 70? 65? Something like that? Didn't they go from their own 7? I guess they're on their own 7. They went from their own 7 to what? The Clemson 35? So 58 yards, 60 yards on that play? And then Ricardo misses the tackle around midfield, so he gets another 15 yards. Way too many busts. I mean, you can't let a team go 95 yards basically on 3rd and 7 by nobody covers the tight end down the middle of the field. He just gets a clean release. Just go ahead. Go your way. And it looked to me like players are looking at each other like they don't know who's supposed to be responsible for that. Like I said, I'll watch it again and give you a better view on it tomorrow. Because right now, I just don't know. It wasn't a good look. It wasn't a good look. And then we have the alleged controversial play. You know, and Coach Sweeney saying it's the worst call ever. But the reality is that you committed defensive pass interference and held on the final two plays. Because you got too many handsy guys who just can't cover. So on the third down play, Hampton 100% is literally he's tugging on the jersey of the receiver. He's not releasing the jersey. It was a blatant call that they missed. And then on the fourth down play, AJ Terrell is basically wrestling the receiver. It's 100% defensive holding. I mean, you'd have to be blind not to see it. He's actually not even letting the receiver run the route. And then they wind up, you know, stumbling and fumbling in a collision down the field that looks like offensive pass interference at that point, which it might have been at that point. But way before that, it was defensive holding. So that's not why Clemson lost. Clemson lost because they let the opposing quarterback throw for 400 yards. They had busts all game, and you still had chances to win. You knew they're going to go for two. You still had a chance to win. You stopped the two-point conversion. You still win. After all that, you stopped the two-point friggin' conversion. You still win. And again, it's a bust of some sort. I mean, again, I'm doing this by memory. All right. Like I said, I've not rewatched it yet. I'm doing this by memory. They run a two-point conversion play where they have the receiver basically lined up as an H-back to the left side of the formation, their left side. And they put a guy in motion. They put the running back in motion going the opposite way. So Sammy Brown evacuates. He goes with 20. Again, this is by memory. He goes with 20, so he takes himself out of the play because that's not where they're going. They're going the opposite way. So Sammy takes himself completely out of the play. I've got Hampton locked on Barkate, if memory serves. Barkate is the outside receiver lined up to the right of the formation. He's all the way out. He's all the way out near the sideline. And so Hampton's locked up with him, and Hampton actually does a good job on this two-point conversion play. He's got him locked up. I don't know what Ricardo Jones is doing. Ricardo Jones is standing with his back to the play, watching Hampton cover Barque. I mean, I guess trying to prevent an inside breaking route, which makes some sense, trying to apply some inside leverage because Barque is lined up so wide. I get it, but he's locked up, and this is going to be a bang-bang play. So Ricardo Jones has his back to the entire play. You know, so they run the receivers in the H-back position back across the formation in the opposite direction, and he's wide open. Nobody goes with him at all. You've got a DB is lined up at the line of scrimmage. He's chasing another receiver, so he moves late. He also has his back to the play. So I've got two Clemson DBs who have their back to the actual action of the play, and they don't see it at all. So they run this guy, they run motion in one direction with the running back. That's window dressing, but that takes Brown out of the play. And then they come back the other way with the receiver who's lined up in the H-back position, and they basically have him run right behind the line of scrimmage. He pops out in the flat. He's wide open. There's nobody anywhere near him. The only two guys left on that side of the field both have their back to the play. They have no idea he even has the ball. They have no idea that that's where Mensah's going. They have their back to the entire operation of the play. I have to watch it again, but that's just my original thoughts as I'm watching it develop. It's a bust. It's another bust. I mean, there are multiple busts on the final drive of the game. There's a major bust that gives them 60 yards. There's another bust that gives them the two-point conversion. I mean, I don't know who's supposed to have whom, but I don't think you can have two DBs with their back to the entire play and they're running a wide receiver who's lined up in the H-back back across the formation, and he's wide open in the flat where nobody is on him at all. Nobody's covering him. Nobody's responsible for him, apparently. And the only two players left on that side of the formation, the defensive formation, and the offensive formation, the only two players left for Clemson over there are two DBs who both have their back to the play. Neither of them have any idea what's going on. They don't have any clue. I mean, Ricardo Jones didn't know it was a touchdown even when it was a touchdown. And I'm not even blaming him. I'm just saying, what I'm saying is it was a cluster bleep. It's a cluster bleep. That can't be how it's designed, okay? So, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I'll have to watch it again, sort of see if I can figure out who's to blame there. But the bottom line is they're all to blame. It's the bottom line. I mean, they run a two-point conversion play. It's the easiest two-point conversion in history. They just drag this guy back behind the line of scrimmage from his H-back position on the left side of the formation. He just runs right behind the offensive line, and then he's just wide open. Because, again, Sammy Brown is evacuated. He's going in motion with 20, the running back, who they sent the opposite way by design to explicitly to move Sammy out of that spot, which they created. It was a nice job by them. They created exactly the opening they're looking for, but I don't think they expected that two Clemson DBs would have their back totally to the play and have no concept of what's going on. So they're in man coverage, and they're just everybody's lost, I guess. Well, actually, I don't know what Ricardo Jones is doing. Well, like I said, he seemed to be playing Barkate to cut that route to the inside. So he seemed to be basically setting himself up to bracket Barkate if Barkate breaks from way outside back inside. I understand that based on where Barkate was lining up because he's basically almost all the way to the sideline. But Hampton has him pretty well locked up, and two-point conversions are a bang-bang play. There's not a lot of time for that. Not a lot of time for that. But it's a bust. It's a bust of some sort. I mean, some way, multiple players, I don't know. I know this. You can't have a guy just absolutely wide open with no Clemson tackler anywhere near him, and there wasn't any. Because, like I said, the only two guys left over there had no clue. They were running with their backs to the play, and they had no clue what Duke was actually doing and what they actually had done. So Basically, Duke created a situation where they outnumbered Clemson on that side of the field. That can't be how it works defensively. It can't be. So it was a game just full of bust after bust after bust after bust. This isn't about speed. Speed's an issue on the back end, as we've said many times. But these type of mistakes should not be happening three quarters of the way through the season. They just should not be. And so I think there are a lot of people to blame, but that's coaching, all right? And if the players are constantly out of position or they're busting all the time, that's coaching any way you look at it. I mean, you can blame the players all you want, and there's some blame to go around. All right, Ron, Chris, Norm, I'm coming right to you as soon as we get back. Walt Tula Road Rage.
It's always big when the Clemson Tigers and Florida State Seminoles get together on the gridiron, and we've got you covered right here on The Roar. Kickoff at 7 o'clock inside Memorial Stadium this year. That means the Ingles Tiger pregame show starts at 1 inside Burton Gallery, right there inside Little John Coliseum. Then Tiger Tailgate Show with Faxon and his crew, Don, Tim, and Reggie with the call of the game, and Donnell Clark and I will give you all the analysis you need on the fifth quarter show. If it's Clemson football, it's here, the flagship station for Clemson athletics. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
When you've thrown over 4,000 innings like I have, you know joint pain isn't a maybe, it's a guarantee. For you, was it climbing ladders or too much heavy lifting? Hey, we're all in the same boat. But surgery, that was never my answer.
Baseball legend Roger Clemens knows there's a better way. That's QC Kinetics regenerative treatments that help your body heal itself. No scalpels, no fake fixes, just real relief.
What I love about QC Kinetics, these are the most respected medical pros in the country that specialize in non-surgical therapies to get you moving again.
And you don't need to leave your home or office. Meet with a QC Kinetics medical professional on a free telemedicine video. Call today. Find out if you're a candidate.
I trusted QC Kinetics. You should too. Done!
Call QC Kinetics today and schedule your free consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 864-766-8454. That's 864-766-8454. 864-766-8454.
Ready to ditch a workout that involves just lifting heavy things? Or running on a treadmill in front of yet another screen in your life? Come climb some walls at Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym, where strength and flexibility meet problem-solving and community. No ropes, no harnesses, just giant padded floors, 16-foot walls, and hype music. Blockhaven has over 200 rotating routes for beginners to Olympic climbers. Visit Blockhaven at the Judsonville District in Greenville or online at blockhaven.com.
Whether it's cruising around the neighborhood or hanging out with friends at the tailgate, do it in style with a golf cart from Elite Custom Golf Carts. Let their friendly staff help you find the perfect ride for you and your family. Call today to ask about their free delivery to over 10 U.S. states and flat rate delivery to many more. Now with 3 locations, call or stop in and see what makes Elite Custom Golf Carts the Upstate's golf cart superstore. Visit them at EliteCustomGolfCarts.com. Proudly owned by a Clemson alumni. Go Tigers!
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
If you've been charged with a criminal offense, the legal system can be overwhelming and intimidating. You could be facing significant consequences. You need someone in your corner to help you navigate it all. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you get the answers you need. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com. You don't have to go through this alone. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
Don't miss out on this week's specials at Buff City Soap.
With products for everyone, corporate gifts, pet products, laundry soap, seasonal scents, and more. Follow Buff City Soap Clemson and Buff City Soap Greenville on Facebook and Instagram for the latest sales and updates.
Every decision counts, and IMS makes it easier. From motors and pumps to gearboxes and drives, Industrial Motor Service delivers proven solutions that save money, reduce downtime, and simplify purchasing. Whether you need a repair or a replacement, they've got you covered with clear quotes, quick responses, and decades of repair history to guide the right call. For 35 years, plant managers and procurement leaders have trusted Industrial Motor Service. IMS, your partner since 1989. Visit industrialmotorservice.com.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/joy to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
Fall means football, and the Tigers roar loudest here.
Klubnik takes a shotgun snap, back to throw, going to throw it deep, down long, there's Wesco, catches it at the 40, off the race, and he goes, touchdown! Wesco from 76!
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome to the Road Rage from Ronan. Maybe we should play some AC/DC just for the heck of it. It's an inside joke. Wes writes, on the two-point conversion, Barnes and Brown both went the wide receiver in motion of the snap. I think Barnes was supposed to stay on that side with the running back out of the backfield. Well, I don't know. All I remember is Brown going in motion, or Brown moving with the running back and went in motion. That's 20. He went with the running back and maybe he shouldn't have. Duke clearly outnumbered Clemson on the play on the right side of the formation. So maybe that was the wrong read by Sammy. Maybe that was I don't remember where Barnes was lined up. I'm drawing a blank on that one. I haven't watched the replay, so I don't remember where he was lined up. But I remember that Hampton had Barkate locked up in the right corner of the end zone. Duke put Barkate out very wide on that play. And again, maybe that's why Ricardo Jones is playing inside leverage there as a help defender, worried about Barkate, which is understandable. He's their go-to receiver. And you want to prevent any in-cutting route, so maybe that was the concern. But you can't just have your back to the entirety of the play and have no concept of what's coming behind you. And there were two Clemson defenders who did that on the play, too. And then, like I said, Sammy went in motion. Sammy went with the motion with number 20. And again, that was just window dressing because Duke was coming back to the other side. So I just think it was a giant cluster blank. I mean, again, in my first initial watching. And like I said, it went on all game. It's going on all year. I mean, you know, look, it's one thing to give up tough yardage. And somebody wrote me and said, well, did you see what Lawson said about the secondary? He said, these guys all think they're better than they are. No, I didn't see that, but I think there's some truth to that. But I think there's a lot of blame to go around. But And I think there are some clear areas. I think there are some clear personnel shortcomings on this defense, clear. And there have been, and we've seen this all year, that limit what you can do schematically. And again, Clemson came into this with a different plan, to be more aggressive and to play more man coverage. It didn't work. That plan didn't work. And that's why Allen was afraid of it all year. But again, the mental mistakes, the busts, are just hard to explain this far into a season. I don't care what these guys – I don't care if these guys were like in the band and you moved them from the band to the football team. By now, they should get it. Mona's sitting there laughing her head off.
Sorry. At first, I didn't know where you were going, and then I'm like, oh.
Ron, how are you, Ron? Good to have you.
Man, I'm doing great. I said, Jesus is Lord. Still a Tigers fan no matter what. And got to give a quick shout-out to my Panthers and Charlotte Football Club. They got it done.
Yeah.
And Charlotte, the Panthers had were two touchdown underdogs,
yep.
And got it
dogs.
Done. But so shout-out to them.
Yep.
And you're all over what I was going to say as far as my thing all season with our Tigers. I remember when Dabo first came here. I remember him preaching situational awareness, being aware of what's going on the field, being aware of where you're needed at and what you need to do. And I don't see that with these players, with the run back that wound up being a touchdown. There wasn't anybody 20 yards of them. Then whenever you looked over at the touchdown at the end of the first half. It was almost like the guys were ready to go to the locker room.
You just can't get beat in that situation. It's deeper than the deepest. You just can't have that. You absolutely can't have that. And then again, the end of the game, the tight end just is a completely free release down the middle of the field. No one runs with them. No one goes with them. And look, do you know how many football games you have to watch to find a tight end have a 60-yard reception, let alone a 60-yard reception in the last minute of the football game or a couple minutes of the football game? You know, you'd have to watch a lot of football on a Saturday to find a 60-yard reception for a tight end. But that's what Clemson allowed. You want to know why you lost? That's why you lost. A 60-yard reception by the tight end in which nobody goes with Haisley. Nobody.
Right. That goes back to what I say about the situational awareness thing. And when we go to the portal, I would love to see a sample of these contracts that these young men are getting now. I don't worry about the money because, one injury and their career is over and they're out millions. So I understand that. But my whole thing about it is they ought to be it should be an award-based contract where, okay, you get this many tackles, you get this much money. You get this many touchdowns, you get this much money. It shouldn't just be a blank check, okay? We're going to give you $2.5 million.
Might get there eventually, Ron. Yeah, you might get there eventually, Ron. You might be onto something.
All right.
Good talking
Great
to you, Ron.
Commentary as always,
Thank
man.
You,
love the show.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate you. Chris, how are you, Chris? Good to have you.
Good, Walt. How are you?
Good, Chris. Thank you for getting in.
I just want to tell you about I'm in Charleston, and I took my – two teenage sons to the game this weekend, and we sat in section G, row A. We were literally 10 feet from the linebacker and DB chairs. Our seats split those chairs down the middle, that half circle they sit in. So we got to see a lot and hear a lot. It's pretty, I've never sat that close before. So we got to see Dabo fire off, kind of stun locked us a little bit. If I would have recorded it, I wish I would have, but I didn't. But he was directing that directly to the DBs.
Yeah, yeah.
He was chewing them, and one of them said something to the effect of, we got it fixed or something like that, and Dabo said, well, that's great, 28 points later. And the only curse word I heard was, I think he said, damn it. But that was the extent of, he didn't curse them or something, but he sure did jump down their throats and was spitting fire mad.
Yeah, look, so I don't blame him, and I don't blame him if he did use curse words either.
Walt, I read people for a living for over 20 years now, and I'm telling you right now, the linebackers and the defensive line who sit on the cool bench and the linebackers in the chairs were emotionally involved. They were reviewing plays. I'm telling you, since from the kickoff to the end of the game, those DBs sat there motionless, head down, not talking. When Reed would talk to them, they kept their head down. They weren't they weren't focused in on. I'm not saying that means anything. I'm just telling you what I watched. There was a complete difference between the way the DB acted and the rest of the defense acted. And if Mike Reed said leverage one time, he said it 1,000 times. Whether that means anything or if that would have helped, but he kept repeating leverage. He wasn't doing much talking other than that.
Yep.
But Ben Boulware was in the laptop or on the iPad or whatever, along with the LBs, from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, reviewing stuff. But it was very interesting to see it up close and personal like that. But one other thing I wanted to ask you about the pass interference at the end of the game that everybody's upset about, which I understand. But what I saw was that pass interference did not, even if you call the pass interference, that didn't happen in the end zone. Why did they get the ball on the 1 yard line? It should have been half the distance, which would have been at the 9 or 10 yard line. That's what I was upset about.
Yeah.
So they called the pass interference. Yeah. Neither one of those players were in the end zone for that pass interference, what they ended up calling. Okay, great. That's fine. But they spotted the ball in the wrong spot.
Yeah, they spotted
it. You have to go back and watch the replay.
Yeah,
I'm telling you that.
Yeah.
That ball should have been spotted on the 9 yard line, and it wasn't. It was spotted on the 1.
Thank you, Chris. Good talking to you. I appreciate the call.
Yep.
Thank you. Yeah, Jason sent me the replay of the 2-point conversion. It is. Barnes also does go with 20. Barnes and Brown both, as the texter originally said, Barnes and Brown both go with 20. And again, that can't be the plan. One of those two guys was supposed to stay home. They can't both go with the window dressing. They both went with the window dressing. And then you've got two Clemson DBs running with their back to the football. You've got Jones, who again is, I guess, trying to prevent Barcade from cutting back to the middle of the field on any in-breaking route there. And I understand that based on where Barcade was lined up. But again, he has no concept. Neither of those two DBs that are on that side of the field have any knowledge of what's happening behind them. They both have their backs completely to play. I'm a little puzzled by Ricardo Jones there, because again, I just think he has to have more awareness than that. He's got to have some idea, because he's not in primary coverage. He's basically not doing anything. He's standing there like almost in zone, preventing as a double method of preventing any inside breaking route by Barcade, the outside receiver on that play. But he's not needed, because Hampton actually has him pretty well locked up. And again, this is going to be a quick developing play. So, you know, and Duke did a nice job here. But yeah, I think I don't think Barnes and Brown can both be going in motion with 20. One of those guys has to stay home. And actually, you know, they've leaked another receiver out there to the middle of the field, and that's the one that Barnes is getting back in on. So I don't know. I mean, it's just, who is this at this end? I mean, unless you're telling me you left that to a defensive end. If you left that to a defensive end, there's no friggin' way he's covering a wide receiver who goes in motion for a score, so, or for a 2-point conversion. So, again, it's a bust. It's almost hard to know, because it's so screwed up. But like I said, you know, that's actually one play where Hampton has the outside receiver locked up. Hampton has him locked up. He actually didn't need help. So Jones basically didn't do anything on this play. You know, he doesn't realize what's going on until the Duke receiver is 5 yards into the end zone. But you can't have two guys go in motion with 20 either.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Your parking lot is the very first thing people see when they visit your business. Is yours making the right impression? Upstate Stripes is here to help. Family owned and operated, we're rooted right here in the Upstate. Specialize in parking lot striping, restriping, handicap spaces, and custom symbols. A sharp, freshly painted lot improves safety, boosts curb appeal, and makes your business stand out. Call 864-376-6698 or request a quote today at upstatestripes.com.
For an outstanding 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's Best Jewelry Store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's Best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's Best Jewelry Store, 11 years in a row, Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
Get ready, Upstate. The legendary Jason Carter, renowned fiddler for the Del McCoury Band, is bringing his own Jason Carter Band to the Walhalla Performing Arts Center, Friday, November 7th. From the Grand Ole Opry to the Grammy stage, Jason's fiery fiddle and soulful sound will have you tapping your toes and clapping your hands all night long. Tickets are on sale now at WalhallaPack.com. That's WalhallaPAC.com. Don't miss this unforgettable night of world-class bluegrass.
I'm Eddie Bennett. For 25 years, Bennett Equipment has sold and managed construction equipment. Bennett is one of Takeuchi's top dealers in the U.S. for the last 2 years by putting our customers first. And now, Takeuchi is offering 0% financing on all equipment and attachments, along with an industry-leading 3-year, 3,000-hour warranty. As we celebrate 25 and 25, we want to thank our loyal customers for your business and trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. We'll help you raise money for your club, church, or group of worthy cause. Sell Krispy Kreme Donuts. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
No matter the season, severe weather can inconveniently interrupt your life. When outages strike at Blue Ridge Electric, our linemen answer the call at any hour of the day, every day, to restore power as safely and quickly as possible. Download the